in the news and around the world, and I'm sure you've heard about a lot of things and more. I don't have cable, so I don't have heard as much as you have. I don't get the newspaper. I don't read much on the internet about world events, but I still, even in my limited searching, still know a lot of what's happening. So I can just imagine what you know with all your access to things. And we got to watch out that if we're not careful, a hopelessness will settle in. And you'll begin to feel just insignificant in this big world. And like, what can I do? And what does it really matter what I do? And what the enemy's tactic is to bring fear. And if he can bring fear, fear paralyzes. Fear stops. Fear causes us to retreat or back down from what God's called us to do. And it doesn't help when you read certain scriptures. And I'm going to read in 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I mean, this doesn't help to read these verses, because he's going to tell us what's happening in this time. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Well, praise God. Isn't that great? Aren't you happy about that? Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is really good news. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. Do you know anybody like this? Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying its power, and from such people turn away. So this is, and there's other scriptures in the New Testament talking about the days and the hour that we're living in. And so if you have this concept that before Jesus comes, everything's just going to be perfect, and we're just going to be living in peace with each other, and all the nations are just going to get along, then, I mean, you're living in a fantasy. That's not what the Word of God says. And so I'm not saying, you know, we should be glad to hear some of the tragedies and things that are happening or accept it or that we want that. Well, it's just going to happen. I'm not saying that either. But to realize the time that we're living in, and the Scripture shows us clearly what's to come. But there's a great temptation based on the media and what the enemy wants to do to believers. There's a great temptation for us to go hide out in our homes with our security systems and to have our guns near us. I mean, it'd be frightening to know how many guns you really have. Parker, I don't even want to know how many guns you have. You know. But we got our security system, we got our guns. We stay home at home and watch TV and watch about all the craziness that further creates fear. We go out only when absolutely necessary. And then, worst of all, we expect the answers to our problems to come from Washington, D.C. Now, I got news for you. If you think your answers to your life and to your well-being, and no offense to our leaders, I pray for them. There's good people in Washington. But if you think the answers to your life and to where you're going, to your purpose, it comes from Washington, D.C., you are deceived, my friend. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. It's not there. It never has been. It never will be. Thank God for this country and the freedoms we have, but it could change in a day. I'm a student of history, studied a lot of nations. I mean, the United States is a young republic, very young in the big scheme of things. Things can change, and they have all throughout history, and they can change in a moment. And so don't get any kind of false confidence in our military. Don't put any confidence in our government. Pray for them. I mean, Timothy, it says to pray for our leaders, that we can live in peace. We need to do that. But our trust is not there. And in this hour of craziness, we need to remember who we are. Now let's look at the early church. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And see, when we read the book of Acts, we're reading about our people. We're reading about our heritage. This is where we have come from. I have more connection with the people in the book of Acts than I do my parents and my brothers, natural brothers and sisters. But we don't look at it that way. I mean, this is where we come from. This is our heritage here. But we just think, well, that's just some people in that time, and then now is different. But verse 40, Acts 2, verse 40 says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, is that a defeated church? Is that a defeated church? Is that a church that's living in fear? Is this a church that's paralyzed? Is this a church just kind of holding on to the status quo, kind of just getting by? No, they were a victorious church. But you got to realize, in the context that it was written, they lived in, their government was Rome. And I studied Rome, and maybe you know a little bit about it too. But the Romans had little regard to people that weren't Romans. They had slaves. People were objects to them. Sin was abounding. We think sin is abounding now. Sin was abounding. They had very creative ways to sin in Rome. They changed their political leaders by assassination. For entertainment, they go to the Colosseum and watch people kill each other in very creative ways. So we look at things and we have a lot of complaints about our government and the world. But this church, the early church, thrived and prospered under the Roman government and also in the Jewish religious system, which they had their own guard wanting to kill people and stone people. So, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? Our excuse is really we've just given in to fear. We've just given into the ways of the world. You mingle with the world and you learn their ways, and their ways become a trap and a snare to you. We have to remember in this hour, and I'm going to continue to remind you as much as I can in the leadership order to continue to remind you. We're going to continue to remind you who you are. Who you are, what you have, and what you can do. And we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to walk by faith and not by fear. We're going to move forward. We're going to follow God. We're going to do God's will. We're going to be obedient to the Bible and listen to the Holy Spirit, because that's who we are. I encourage you to vote. But, you know, don't get wrapped up in this election. Do not do it. I'm just warning you and telling you, don't do it. Don't get sucked into it. Pray. Follow the Holy Spirit. All the different things in the Bible as far as the government, I do the things, it says nothing about voting. But praying for my leaders, I do that. I pray for my president, pray for the Supreme Court, Congress, local leaders, state leaders. It says to pay taxes. I pay my taxes. I recommend you pay your taxes. The church, we pay our taxes. We follow the laws. But my confidence is not in this government, and I'm going to pray for who's ever elected. And you, you are not going to hear from my lips criticism towards my president. You're not going to hear from my lips or on Facebook, which is the more popular place, to bring criticism against President Obama, because I will not do that. Because that is against the Word of God. Because when you do that, you don't know who you are. You're just following the course of the world and being like everybody else. I'm not going to do that. I'm called to a different calling. And so are you, really. All right, let's move along, huh? We have a huge opportunity for the church today. We have a huge opportunity for the body of Christ, and we're wrapped up in all these little minute things getting us off course. All this passion, energy going towards the wrong things. I want to put it towards what God wants for us. So we need to remember today who we are, why we're here on this earth at this moment. So turn to 2 Corinthians 5, which is one of our core scriptures here. If I go to another nation and I don't have anything to preach, I go to 2 Corinthians 5. This is just the core of who we are. It's just in me. It's in us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. There's so much in these verses here. And you need to have these verses before you right now. You probably should put it on your mirror, along with all the other 50 scriptures that I tell you to put by your mirror. Take down all those and put this one there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, do I have anybody in Christ in the house today? If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Woo! I don't have to have my Wheaties to be excited about that. I don't have to have my Starbucks to be excited about that. I'm a new creation. I'm just going to hit this podium all day long. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I hope I offended you somewhere along the way talking about politics. I hope I really made you mad. of you watching live streaming. I hope I made you mad if you're involved in all that and just wake up. Well, Pastor, that's not right for you to want people to be mad. Well, it says be angry and sin not. You can be mad, but just don't sin. All right, here's some things we need to know right now. Number one, we've been reconciled to God. The word reconcile means to call things back in order. And hey, go ahead and have your guns. Go ahead and have your security system. We want to have security here. We do things for safety. You know, I'm not saying don't have that. But our trust is not in those things. Our trust is in God. We have been, I'm getting back to the word here. We have been reconciled to God. The word reconciliation means to call things back into order. It means to restore a friendship or relationship. It's the thing, bring things back into a state of harmony. It means to bring somebody back into favor. And so reconciliation is an important word for us today. Reconciliation is an important word for the sinner, for the person that's lost. Because Jesus took upon himself the curse of the law that we deserved. We deserved eternal punishment for our sins. We deserve to be separated from God for eternity. Jesus came to receive, listen to this now, Jesus came to receive what he didn't deserve so that we couldn't receive what we deserved. Did you catch that? Jesus came to receive. He took upon himself our sin, our sickness, our poverty, our death, our separation from God. He took it upon himself. And if you read in verse 21, he gave us his righteousness. So God reconciled us. He offered this reconciliation. And when you're a believer, you receive that. Hopefully you receive it. And then with that comes a change in your heart. The Bible calls it being a new creation. And a new creation should produce new things. New thoughts, new words, new actions. You were outside the plan of God, now you're in God's family. But he made us righteous. He gave us a position, the same position that Jesus himself has. He made us a son and daughter of God. And with that comes an inheritance. With that, we call it a benefit package. I mean, when we die, we go to heaven, which really eternity is the more real. That's forever. We've been made new creations. We've been born again. We're now in Christ. Jesus came to give us the abundant life. A life overflowing with good things. Our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. He has provision for us financially, healing for our bodies. He wants to fill us with His Spirit. His love has been shed abroad in our hearts. So I just recommend that we just start acting like new creations. We need to start acting like new creatures. We need to start acting like we're citizens of heaven. We need to start acting like we have eternal life. We need to start acting like we've got victory because Jesus won the victory 2,000 years ago. We need to start acting like we have authority, that we can change circumstances and change things around us. We don't have to just put up with the status quo. And again, so we ought to be thinking, speaking, acting differently than the world. And so I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you're outside of God today, God wants to reconcile things. He's already done it through Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, if you're watching by live streaming and you're here today, receive it. Receive it. Believe it. And we'll, at the end of this service, we'll pray a prayer for you to do so. Now, I think a lot of churches are doing pretty good with the new creation and identity and some of these things. I think there's a lot of churches that are doing a good job, and so that's not the whole point of my message here today. But I think we need to, especially in this hour, take it a step further here and look at what else we've been given in 2 Corinthians 5. You've been taught, that have been coming here, you've been taught about your inheritance. You've been taught about your authority. Now, people that are new haven't, and you will be. I mean, people at Good News Church know that when you die, you're going to heaven. There's a lot of things that you know. You know different aspects of the abundant life. You learned about who you are in Christ. But one of the other things we're doing here is we're taking it a step further than just what I have, the rights and privileges. We have to realize not only are we new creations, we're sons and daughters of God, we've been made ambassadors. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've been made an ambassador. And if you know them, call them Ambassador so-and-so. How's that sound? How's that feel? We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven sent to live in a foreign land with a foreign language and a foreign culture to represent Jesus. And I'm not talking about going to another country. I'm talking about living in the United States. Other countries, but also here in the United States. We've been called to be ambassadors to represent the kingdom. And we need to realize we've been given, and we make a big deal out of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And these are leaders in the body of Christ, and there should be honor for them. But we have been given as ambassadors of Christ the highest rank, the most esteem. We're the most celebrated, impressive. We have the most impressive an influential job in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know who you are? You're a representative of Jesus. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. All of heaven is standing behind you, waiting to back you up and to defend you, just like the U.S. government would do for one of our ambassadors. Now let me ask you, if we send an ambassador to another country, do you think they'd have a house? Would they have provision? Would they have medical care? Would they be taken care of? How much more will God take care of His citizens? Heaven is waiting to act on your behalf. Did you know that you're the voice of heaven? Did you know, as an ambassador for Christ, you're the voice of heaven? Jesus is not standing here in the flesh speaking to you. God's not standing here in the flesh speaking to you. He's speaking through a person. But see, you'd expect it of me. Well, I'm a pastor. And see, this is the problem that we have in the body of Christ. We think that only certain special anointed people are ambassadors. So you need to all come to Good News Church and hear this ambassador, this great ambassador named Matt Judd. And if you just come and sit under his teachings. But see, we got it all wrong. We've got an ambassador school and we're raising up ambassadors. And the key to the whole thing is when you're sent, ambassadors are sent. That's right. They're sent out. They're not kept in their country. They're sent out. And they're sent out to represent Christ. I mean, it's one thing to have a church of 1,000 people coming to hear the ambassador. That's good. But what happens if you had a church of 1,000 ambassadors that are going out into their world, representing Christ, being a voice for heaven, speaking for God? What could happen in the world then? What could happen in your city then? If we all have 150 people that I'm spitting now, we have 150 people that we influence. Good News Church is much bigger than this. We're the people in your world. We're the people that you influence. And if I can get you to be an ambassador for Christ and take the things that you're learning out there to people, we got something going. And being an ambassador might lead you to another country. Lord spoke to me about going to 50 nations. I've been to 12, maybe 13. Got a lot more to do. It may lead that, but it start where you at. This is a foreign country. This is a foreign land. You're a representative of Christ. Now let me ask you, I can't get away from Facebook because it's just so prevalent right now. Well, I can't get away from it because we spend so much time on it. Even those that even don't even know how to use it spend a half an hour to an hour on there. And those that are not on Facebook are looking on other people's accounts and saying they're not on Facebook, but they can't help but look to be on Facebook. But let me give you a little criteria for what to say on Facebook, okay? Before you write anything, you say to yourself, would an ambassador for Christ write this? Would a representative from heaven write this? Would a person that's speaking for God, that's got a voice, see, you don't think much of your voice, you'll just say anything. Because you don't realize who you are. You'll just say anything and do anything, and it doesn't really matter how I act or what I do. But see, you're representing the kingdom, and people are looking at your life. And they're saying, is this what Christ is like? This gossip, this criticism, this hate, is this what your Jesus is like? If this is what your Jesus is like, I don't want anything to do with it. See, we don't think much of ourselves. Oh, the pastor, he's an ambassador. He's got to conduct himself. He can't have affairs. He can't mishandle the money. He can't curse. He can't drink. He can't do all these things. But I can just do whatever I want because it doesn't matter. It just matters what he does. I want to do something, but I don't want to be crude, so I'm just not going to do anything. That's a bunch of baloney. And that's why we have a weak church. I'm not talking about Good News Church, but the church overall. That's why we're weak. Because people, they don't realize they represent Christ in what they say and what they do and who they are. But you know, we want to be like everybody else. We want to fit in. But if you want to follow Jesus, you're not going to fit in. Now, I'm not saying you got to go into Walmart and start screaming in tongues and roll on the floor in prayer and just go shouting to everybody, you're going to hell. That's not the answer. We've already proven that's not the answer. And you're doing that, you don't know who you are. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If there's no condemnation for you, why should you be spewing it out to others? Amen. Bunch of spewers. Pastor's got that look in his eyes. Oh my God. Watch out. We got to know who we are. We're ambassadors of Christ at the military base. We're ambassadors for Christ on the ball field. We're ambassadors for Christ in our schools. We're ambassadors for Christ at Starbucks. And at Vega Zest, I mean, you know you're an ambassador for Christ. We're an ambassador for Christ in our gated neighborhoods. And maybe you don't want that. And you can choose not. I mean, maybe you just want all the rest. But I'm telling you, your life will never really be what God intended it to be until you say, I'm going to be an ambassador. Because that's who you're made to be. All right, now what do these ambassadors do? Okay, that's a good question. Ambassadors have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're to bring reconciliation. Now, the word ministry is the word office. It's the same word used for the office of the apostle, the prophet. But again, we've been taught not to look at things like that way. We don't believe that we have an office. That's for somebody else. I'm just a regular Joe, kind of just living my life, trying to get by. But you don't realize you've got an office. You've got an office. It's the office of reconciliation. And we've all been given this office. And we are here to restore people back to favor with God. Wherever we go, just like an ambassador for a land, I mean, they represent that country, then the fruit of our ambassadorship should be reconciliation. It should be the people around us are being drawn closer to God. Some you may just share the gospel with the first time you meet. Others you just love. Others you get to know, and then over time share the gospel. Others like Vanessa, there's going to be people on your heart, you're going to disciple them. But we have this ministry. Turn to your neighbor, look at him, and point at him and say, you are a minister of reconciliation. We're here to tell people about God's goodness. We're here to tell people about God's mercy. We're here to tell people about God's grace. We're here to refute the lies that have been told about God, our Heavenly Father. We believe, according to the Scriptures, it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. It's not condemnation. Now, wrapping it up here. We can only handle so much, right? Let's read it again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, the message. Look at it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and Him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. You know you have the ministry of reconciliation in your marriage? With your kids? God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. This is what I desire here at Good News Church. Now, I'm willing to be patient. I know some people are here today like, what in the world is he talking about? Some of you maybe here today don't even know Jesus as your Lord. Some are new to things. And we're committed to helping you grow. In fact, we've got some things we're going to be announcing coming up to help people grow in an even greater way based on some of the things we've been talking about discipleship. We've got some things we want to do here. You know, in order to be a life giver, you have to have life. So if you come to Good News Church, you're going to hear a lot of messages about your authority, about your inheritance, about the love of God, about His grace, about His mercy, who you are, all the things about your inheritance, your rights and privileges. But everything we do here, and I hope it's not just Good News Church, but everything we do here, though, it's all for a purpose. Because if you don't have a purpose, you can get inward focused and you get selfish. And selfishness is not God's way. And then it's like you're demanding the blessings, and I'm entitled to the blessings. And then you start comparing yourself with the blessings with others. All that we have is there's a purpose to it. We're ambassadors for Christ who have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, let's read your job description for being a minister of reconciliation. Here's your job description. Mark 16, I'm closing with this. Mark 16, verse 15. Are you still here today? Y'all hear what I'm saying today? Or are you still mad at me? Mark 16, verse 15. This is the minister of reconciliation. This is your job description. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Now that is sad. That ought to break your heart. That ought to keep you up at night. That there's people in our world that are condemned. People that we know in our family. People in our world. I mean, that ought to just... We ought to be praying, Lord, help us here. Help us to be a voice. Bring laborers across their path. And these signs will follow those who believe. See, it's not talking about the preachers here. It doesn't say fivefold ministry. It says those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord had spoken to them. He was received up in heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. See, he sat down. He delegated his authority to the church. We are now the body of Christ. We are now his representatives. The world doesn't see Jesus seated on the throne. They see you. That's pretty heavy, but they see you. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. What am I saying today? I'm saying it's time to wake up, folks. I'm saying don't get wrapped up in this election as your savior, because it's not. I'm saying that while we're getting wrapped up in all the things the world is, there's people in our lives dying and going to hell. And we that have the truth and this knowledge, we can't remain silent. And there's all kind of reasons and all kind of excuses why we've drawn back. But I just want to tell you, we got a huge opportunity. And to just come along with us. I mean, maybe all you've got to say is, I mean, I don't know what it all means or what this ambassadorship looks like. But see, you got to accept it. You may have no clue about the ministry of reconciliation. But it's not going to just come and fall in your lap and happen because it happens to the guy next to you. You have to choose. They don't just, you know, United States doesn't come into someone's house and just grab somebody and then go throw them in Kenya and you're going to be the ambassador. They ask him or her, and they ask him, and they've got to say yes or no. I guess I'm just pleading with you today to just say yes to that. And then we'll do our part, but you do your part too. Study the Word. What does this mean? The world has nothing for you. It's all a big facade. What they're offering you is nothing. Now this, oh my God, I gotta just wrap it up here. When I got saved 34 years ago, at the age of 19, at a really rough time in my life, you know, the first year in college and drinking and all the different things and depressed and just fed up with everything. That's when I got saved. I had a group of guys that I hung out with in high school. They were my drinking buddies, 12 of them, my 12 disciples. We would party, we played pool, we played cards, we gambled, all the things that we did, had police chase us. All the different things. That was my crew. I wasn't in the gang. I'm not trying to say that, but It just, that's what we did. And when I got saved, I went back into that group. And I found myself at that time, now maybe later I would have been different. You know, if we were to assemble today, it would be different. But back at that time, I wasn't strong enough to influence the group. They were influencing me. So I had to make a decision. Am I going to follow Jesus or am I going to still hang out with these guys? And it's hard because I love these guys. And so I had to make a decision. And it wasn't like I didn't have contact with them or, you know, wouldn't talk to them. It wasn't that way. But I just couldn't hang out with them anymore. And so I hate to say it, that if you want to be an ambassador, you might have to make some changes of friends. If they're influencing you more than you're influencing them. Now, if you are stronger and you are leading them towards Jesus and making an impact on them, then go for it. But there's just certain things, though, that if you really want to grow and go forward, you're going to have to make some hard decisions about what you want. And a couple of the guys I've been able to reach out to now, and I haven't said they haven't gotten saved, but I'm in their lives or asked for prayer. I'm in contact with them. If I go to Minnesota, I'll see certain ones of them. But that was really hard to do that. But I don't think I would have gone to ORU had I stayed in that group. And if I wouldn't have gone to ORU, then I wouldn't have met Susie, and we wouldn't have gotten married, and I wouldn't have come to Augusta, and it would be, you know, she might have done Good News Church Augusta, but I probably wouldn't have. And so, you know, you think about these decisions in your life, and I'm endeavoring, I'm not been perfect, but I'm endeavoring to follow God and follow His will, because these decisions have consequences. And I've learned the world has nothing for me. So I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about this. I want you to, if you don't want to do it today, think about this week. Say, I'm going to step into my calling. I'm called. I'm going to step into being an ambassador for Christ. And the Holy Spirit help me grow in that. And then also, I'm going to stand in my office of reconciliation. And just like you'd want me to, wouldn't you want me, as pastor of Good News Church, wouldn't you want me to be in prayer for you? Wouldn't you want me, would you want me to study the Word? Rightly divide the Word? Would you want me to have proper leadership here and the way we run things, the way we do things? You'd expect that of me, a certain discipline. But see, then when it comes to your office, you just, you know, and you want that for me, but you're just sloppy with your office. Now, I'm kind of upset about that. You know, how is that fair? You want all this out of me, but you want to be sloppy in your office. You want sloppy agape with your office and me to be all disciplined in mine. That's part of the problem, because we're looking again to the pastor or the leader to do everything, and we don't have to do anything. But that's not God's plan. And if that's what you want, you're at the wrong church. All right, I'm closing. That's it. I mean, I just need to close it. Who's got something here? Nate? You look happy. Come on.